You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
You know, I'm really excited to share around this message of overflowing joy today. It's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing that your pastor is excited to share about overflowing joy. It would be a bit of a disconnect if he wasn't excited to share about overflowing joy. We're gonna visit some really key scriptures today around joy, and we're gonna tap into some of these following thoughts and questions, just so you understand where we're going today. We're gonna have a look at what's the difference between joy and happiness, and what is the joy of the Lord, and how can I actively include and experience the joy of the Lord in my life. And what happens when joy becomes an overflowing reality to my life? What happens when God does that in my life? Now, let me start by saying it is well and truly God's heart for each of us to know and experience joy that is deeper than just the feeling of happiness. Do you want me to say that again? If you're wondering what God's heart is towards you today, it is well and truly God's heart for each of us to know and experience joy that is deeper than just the feeling of happiness. So what's the difference between joy and happiness? Simply put, happiness is an emotion. So when we look at joy goes to a deeper level. It's a deeper level beyond happiness. Joy runs deep and overflows while happiness hugs hello. Does that make sense? Joy embraces peace and gratefulness while happiness comes and goes casually along its own way. Joy is profound and uniquely scriptural in its full meaning. Joy is a choice, a practice, and a behavior birthed in the Spirit of God. Starting to get the picture? Difference between a hug and this deeper connection from the Spirit of God. Joy is deeper than the external emotion of happiness. So how do I find the joy of the Lord? In fact, what is the joy of the Lord? Someone explain that for me today. Well, I'll do that. I wanted to convey to you where the joy of the Lord comes from and what it is. You know, the joy of the Lord, if you're taking notes today, this may be in your notes already, but if it's not, feel free to write this down. The joy of the Lord is the whole sum of gladness and delight consuming your heart because you are known by God through Jesus, having been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's this full holistic picture of what happens at salvation, and it starts at salvation and it continues as the Spirit of God fills us. And we're gonna look at some scriptures today that really cement that to be truth. It's this whole, complete, perfect encounter and exchange between God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and our spirit. So the joy of the Lord is birthed into us. And the power of Jesus reaches into people's lives, into people's worlds, and deposits joy. It's one of the things that he deposits in his spirit. It stretches and reaches far beyond feelings and emotions, birthed deeply within our spirit. I'll start by saying this today, that Jesus is a joy bringer. Jesus is a joy bringer. And you may be able to think of some parables that you've read and read some chapters and verses in the Bible where you're like, yeah, that's true. I've read that about Jesus. He brings joy to people's lives. Maybe Zacchaeus, when he was up the tree and he's like so excited that Jesus wanted to come to his house. It's like, yeah, he's a joy bringer. It's what he does. His interactions and engagements with people bring them to this place of joy. Zacchaeus was so happy that he scrambled down from the tree. It's like, Jesus is coming to my house. He's a joy bringer. All who find Jesus know the joy that he brings. All who find Jesus know the joy that he brings. Even before his birth and at his birth, he was sharing joy with people. And we look to the scriptures and we catch in Luke 1, we get this glimpse of Jesus bringing joy to his family even while he was in his mother's womb. And we started chapter 1, verse 39, and it says this, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is a joy bringer. Inspired the Holy Spirit to fill in the womb. Wow, how amazing. And Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. Even before he was born, he was depositing joy into others. Such a powerful picture of who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. You know, in Luke 2 verse 10, this is what it says. It's referring to Jesus. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. This is referring to the fact that Jesus is about to be born, just being born, and he's speaking to the wise men, and he's like, don't be dismayed, don't be worried. I'm about to share something with you. I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. Reference to the fact that because of Jesus being the sacrificial lamb of God, that joy was going to be deposited to every human being that wanted to have it in their life. Such a beautiful picture. You know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's Pentecost, right? Well, yeah, yes, it is Pentecost. That is true in Acts. But Jesus was also filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we can ask ourselves questions. I ask myself the question. It's like, you know, do I need the joy of the Spirit? And then I started reading the scriptures. It's like, well, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I, me being a simple person, it's like if it was good enough for Jesus, then it's good enough for me. And so I just want us to look in Luke 10, 21, and we see this scriptural representation, the fact that Jesus was also filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And it's starting in verse 20, it says, at the same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And he said, oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the child. Like, yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. And the fact that Jesus is filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit and that Jesus is a bringer of joy. And we're going to continue to unpack this of what it means for you and I to have the joy of the Lord inside of us. How do I experience the joy of the Lord? First things first, the first way to experience the joy of the Lord is you need to know Jesus personally. If you don't know Jesus personally, you may hear of the joy of the Lord, you may see the joy of the Lord active in somebody else's life, but how do you experience the joy of the Lord? First, you need to have a relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship with God. So when you have this personal relationship with God through Jesus, it brings joy and peace and hope and eternity and forgiveness and so many other things that are given to you. The gift of salvation is the gateway to a joy-filled life. Wondering how to step into a joy-filled life and experience it every single day? The gift of salvation is the gateway to a joy-filled life. See, after this, after we've come into a relationship with Jesus, and we'll talk a little bit later how Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again so that we could be forgiven of our sins. But after we've come into that relationship with Jesus, we then need to learn to position ourselves to be in his presence. The joy can be deposited into us through Jesus, and we can know that for the first time at salvation. But if then we just walk off and go off in our everyday life and not be connected on a daily relationship with God, it tends to grow a little bit stale, and it's a distant thought, a distant memory of the joy that you once felt. Learning to position ourselves in his presence, meaning being close to him. To simplify it even further, shortening the distance. to simplify it even further, being in the same room. Yes, that's enough. But ultimately, the distance that you need to truly experience the joy of the Lord is to have him dwelling in your heart on a daily, daily basis. So maybe you're like, yeah, I'd love to do that, but life just gets so busy and life just, I agree with you, life gets busy and then kids come along and you just thought that you could never be as busy as you've ever been, and then kids go to school and then there's lunches and so, yeah, Tim truly understands how I'm feeling right now because he got a puppy that's not even at his house and he's feeling the pressure. Parents, we can stone him afterwards. We'll take him to the car. How can I increase my proximity to God? That's the question that we probably should be asking ourselves on a regular basis. In Hebrews 4:16, it says this, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." I want to encourage you that the key for us to experience the joy of the Lord on a daily basis, to experience it, to encounter it, to walk in it, to distribute it to others, is to draw near. Draw near to God. See, when we draw near to God, we experience the overflowing joy through salvation. When we draw near, we experience the overflowing joy through prayer. When we draw near, we experience the overflowing joy of the Lord through God's Word, the Bible. And I'll keep talking in a second, but you can only draw near if you choose to draw near. God is, just imagine for a moment that God's here, God stays there, God doesn't move, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He exists as God, loves you, sent Jesus, wants to commune with you on a daily relationship. The only person that can change their proximity is you and I, as we choose to draw near to God. We close the distance. He's already closed the distance through Jesus. He closed the gap, but we need to choose on a daily basis to get in contact with him. Only you and I can choose to draw near and increase our proximity to God. In Psalms 119, 14 to 16, it says this, I've celebrated your testimonies as though rejoicing over an immeasurable fortune. I will fix my mind on your instructions, my eyes to your path. I will find joy in your ordinances. I will remember your word forever. Why do I share that passage of scripture? You want to experience the joy of the Lord? You want to find the joy of the Lord? Yes, Jesus is in you and the joy of the Lord is in you, but you want to touch base with it on a regular basis? The Bible. Draw near. Find his overflowing joy in the word of God, in the Bible. And it says here, I will find joy in your ordinances. What are the ordinances? The scriptures. The things that God encourages us with. The boundaries and guidelines that he shares with us through the scriptures. The promises. I will find joy in the promises. I will find joy in the direction. I will find joy in the guidance that is found in the word. I will remember your word forever. If your Bible has a layer of dust on it, if I don't know what Android phones are like, but in iPhones, there you can go into this little part in the settings and you can look what apps have been open for the longest. If the Holy Bible is at the bottom of your app tree, and it's like Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Tetris, like. If you get into those real weird apps and they're above the Holy Bible, minutes applied, maybe it's time to just click. Maybe it's time to click on the Bible. Maybe it's time to open the Bible. And maybe it's time to say, I will find joy in these promises that you've spoken over my life, over my family, over your people, over humankind, and I will remember these words in my heart forever. You want to experience the overflowing joy of the Lord, draw near to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells in you at salvation, but you need to engage. Only you can choose to engage with Holy Spirit. You know, when you follow Jesus, you receive salvation. Maybe this is the first time you've heard this, but when you receive Jesus' salvation, the Spirit of God dwells in you, no longer separated from God. He is with you at all times. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do on a regular basis is position yourself for quality time to hear from God and experience His love overflowing with fullness in your life. It's one of the greatest things you can do. It's like, oh, I've only got a couple of minutes. Start with a couple of minutes. It could be, I drive to work and I listen to podcasts. Well, now I'm driving to work and I'm listening to the Word of God and I've got some worship on. Whatever you need to do, use your time differently to draw near to God. It doesn't look like having to get up at 4:32. Now, if that works for you, you keep getting up at 4:32. God bless you. Please pray for me while you're up. Whatever time. There are some early risers in the room, amen. Who's the early riser? Early risers. Any other early risers? God bless you. The Spirit of God is upon you. You know what? I truly feel that it's like God's will for you to intercede for every single one of us while you're up at 4:32. Yeah, in Ephesians 3:18-19, it says this. Then you'll be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. As you draw near to the Spirit of God, He wants to pour into you. As you draw near to the Spirit of God, He wants you to know the endless love of God to the point where it's overflowing from you with the fullness of God's Spirit. In Acts 1 verse 8, it says that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witness, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Oh, I want to encourage you. It's not a matter of if or when, but when you position yourself, the Holy Spirit will be poured upon you. I also want to share this. Just, you know, sometimes we read that scripture and we're like, does that mean that I can be one of those weird people who stand up on a soapbox and just like, no, that's not what it means at all. It means that as the love of God consumes you, as the joy of the Lord fills you, all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where even in the most minute of conversations, you just want to share the love and encouragement of Jesus. Someone's going through the hardest patch of their life. You just want to put yourself in a place where it's like, you know what? I just want to encourage you. God is for you. Though the circumstances and situations may be against you, God loves you and He is for you. That's what it looks like. Amen? That's what it looks like. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you just want to be in those places to encourage people. Now, I've got a story for you today. And in a moment, not yet, in a moment, there'll be a photo that comes up on the screen. What you're about to see is a young man who has all the hope and joy of the world. He's got it in his hands. He's like, the world is my oyster. The best thing in the world has ever happened to me. It has happened right now. Let's have a look at this picture. If that's not a picture, I would go as far as saying that's not happiness. That the joy of the Lord has overtaken a young 13-year-old boy. I was out of the age of being able to wed, I promise you. Who is that person? Unbelievable. Consumed with such joy at the gift that God had actually given him. Amen. Don't know about Nay, just like. So. You promised me that we're going on a holiday to the tropics. Like what? Why are we still here? See, what happens when the joy of the Lord becomes an overflowing reality in our lives. See, for that moment in my life, that I was so beyond excited, amen. I smiled like that all day. And then the next day, I was because my muscles were stuck in the same spot. See, what happens when the joy of the Lord becomes this overflowing reality in our life? The overflowing joy of Christ, it's not a giddy feeling of cracking up at a joke or this newly found elevated state that you would magically ascend to. That's not the joy of the Lord. It's deeper. It's deeper than a giddy feeling. It's much deeper. You see, joy can be with us at all moments in our lives. And because true joy stems from the Spirit that dwells within us. That's why it can be with us at every time in our lives. It can reveal in new ways every single day. Joy can be revealed in new ways every single day. In the little things, in family members, in interactions within the workplace, God can reveal joy in new ways every day. It reminds us. You know, I just want to encourage you, when you have a joyous moment that happens that's deeper than just happy or a laugh. I mean, they're good things. Celebrate those things. But when it's like a deeper joy, I just want to encourage you, for me, it reminds me of how far I've come. It reminds me of how far I've come on the journey. It encourages me that throughout this journey of following Jesus, that I'm continually being renewed, that I'm continually being refined. And the proof of that is that the joy starts to overflow more than it did 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or whenever that photo was taken. Amen. See, that overflowing joy and confidence can be with you in all seasons. Now, it doesn't mean when you're in the hardest season of your life that you're going to walk around like, It doesn't, no. No, but what it does mean that in here, there's a confidence and joy that God has everything in his hand, including me. Including me. And I take confidence in the fact that he's going to take care of those things. So again, I say, what happens when joy becomes an overflowing reality in our life? You know, the joy of the Lord. This is what happens. Shifts our hearts to a place of worship regardless of current circumstance. Overflowing joy doesn't change, fade, or turn into something else based on through anything that we go through or don't go through. Jesus and his joy becomes a constant in our lives. He is a giver of life, of confidence, and joy in a tumultuous world. You know, maybe you look at other people who've been Christians longer than you or shorter than you, or maybe you don't have faith yet, and you look at it and say, how can they even be functioning with everything that's going on in their world? Our hope and our confidence and our joy is found in Jesus alone. That's the truth of the matter. Because of his overflowing joy and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are learning. Now, let's put a big bold on that. We are learning to be able to see the beauty of life, even in the middle of deep and complex situations and circumstances. Amen. And those seasons. You know, Jesus encouraged his followers. And just as he encourages his followers, I want to use this to encourage you today, because that the word of God is living and ready for us at any moment. This is what it says in John 15, 8 to 13. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, I just want to encourage you with this today, that the fact that Jesus says that when you commit to living out his commands, and the most, any highlights here, what do we need to do? We need to stay in God's love, and we need to love others as we love ourselves, as the two commandments that he gave us. I just want to encourage you that when you obey his commandments to love others in the same way that you've been loved by him, in the same way that he was loved by the Father, you activate and step into the filling of his overflowing joy. When I look at this passage of scripture, just take it back one slide. When I look at this passage of scripture, it's like when you do this, when you obey my commands and you remain in my love and you do exactly as I have done, as the Father has done with me, that you will be filled with my joy. I want to encourage you that this journey of following Jesus isn't one of getting your card stamped of salvation, but what it really is this relational exchange of love between you and the Father. Now, if that's not something that you've experienced before, I want to encourage you that this is a great place. This church will help you foster this relationship of love backwards and forwards between you and the Father so that you can come to a place, yes, where you're filled with the Spirit of joy, but so that you can then fulfill his commands of actually showing that love to others around you as well in the same way that he's loved you and in the same way as you love yourself. Amen. God's a good God. Just as Victoria comes this morning, in Romans 15:13, this is what it says. Now, I love Paul's heart towards us. His heart towards us is such a beautiful representation of God's heart towards us. He caught a glimpse and embraced what he actually encourages us with. Verse 13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's my heart for each and every single one of us today. It's God's heart for us. It was Paul's heart for us. And it's my heart for each and every single one of us today that we will, that the source of hope, God, the source of hope will completely fill us. That will overflow with joy and peace simply because we trust in him, not because we've done anything special. In fact, we wouldn't have to do anything special. Jesus did everything that was special. He wants to fill us with those things simply if we trust in him. Simply if we trust in him. You know, lastly, one of my last scriptures this morning is that joy is a spiritual fruit. We look in Galatians 5:22, because I don't want you to be trapped into this mindset of I have to try and be a more happy person. I have to try and be a more joyous person. No, forget the doing for a moment and let God do in us what he needs to do in us so that it becomes part of our speech and part of our actions and part of who we are. And it says this, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There's a couple missing. Must be in the self-control. No, I don't know. Well, I left that one off on purpose. No, I'm kidding. See, it's not us who does it. It's the Holy Spirit who produces those things in us, and then we gently grab hold of those things and we begin to exercise those things in our own lives and in gifts to other people as well. In gifts to other people. Not misusing them towards others, but gifts towards other people. Goes on to say the Spirit produces it. Spirit produces it. I just want to encourage you that we have a responsibility as individual followers of Christ and the body of Christ. We have a responsibility to make sure that the soil is cultivated and fertilized. I'm talking about our hearts. That our hearts is cultivated with the necessary ingredients. What's the necessary ingredient? The Holy Spirit. Salvation, the Holy Spirit. And I take great delight in this today. This scripture gives me delight, and I pray that it gives you delight as well. That In Colossians 2:13, it says, "You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive," made you alive with Christ, "for he forgave all our sins." I just want you to be encouraged with that. Take delight. So sometimes we can get so down on ourselves. I struggle with this and I kick the cat. And I don't have a cat, by the way, so I could. But we get down on ourselves because of things that happen during our week. You need to be encouraged again that you were dead in your sins, but you're not anymore. You've been made alive in Christ and he's forgiven all your sins. And yes, you might make some mistakes during the week, but as you close the proximity to God and the Holy Spirit, you say, "Oh God, I repent of that. I'm sorry I did that. Forgive, you know, forgive me. I know that your heart's forgiveness is for me." And you move on. You move on and you let the fruit of the Spirit begin to be more proactive in your life, because you're no longer living under guilt and shame, but you're aware that you've been made alive in Christ. And so I leave you with these things. Jesus is joy. Releases joy. Exemplified joy. Imparts joy. Will fill you with joy. Releases joy through us. Why? Because we've been made alive in Jesus. He gives us the ability and power to exercise joy. That and so many other fruits of the Spirit. But this morning we're talking about overflowing joy. And so the question for each and every single one of us, and this question covers the room, regardless of where you are, whether you're hearing about Jesus for the first time in his fullness, or whether you've been following Jesus for 99 years, wherever you are in the room today, this is the question that I'd love to leave you with. What is God doing in you? And what are you doing to further his work in you? What's God doing in you? What's he speaking to you about? Is he talking about closing the proximity? Is he talking, he wants to spend more time with you? Does he want to introduce himself to you? Does he want you to go back to some of those old practices that you used to do? Just close the gap again, close the proximity. And that last part, what are you doing? What are you doing to further his work in you? He wants to minister you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to use you to encourage people around you. What will you do to step out into those new things? Or maybe even the old things that he wants you to be active in again, amen? Just as the team comes this morning. I know that one thing is true today, as true as it's ever been, that God loves all humanity. That means he loves you. Each and every single one of us loves us so fervently and so deeply. And just as we come to the end of the service this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to Jesus in relationship with him. To know his forgiveness, to know what it is to be embraced by a loving Heavenly Father, not God in a sky who wields a stick, but God in the sky who sent his Son Jesus. That's how much he loved you. So fervently he loves you. Why don't we just close our eyes for a moment? Yeah, this is a personal moment for each and every single one of us today. You may not know God at all. You may have known of him through church or through other people. Maybe you once walked closely in relationship with him, but you've been off on your own journey for a little bit. It's okay. No guilt, no shame. His heart is for you. As much as it's ever been for you, it is much more for you today. It says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. Now, I want to encourage you today that this isn't a day of putting the spotlight on you for everything that you've ever done wrong in your life. In fact, it's quite the opposite. God's love is upon you today because he wants to embrace you and bring you back into relationship with him and see you forgiven of anything that you may be carrying. With the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit to be poured into your life so that it overflows in your life through Jesus. So with everybody's eyes closed this morning, if that's you, maybe you're watching online this morning or you're here in the room, I want to encourage you that you can respond to Jesus today. I'm going to ask you to respond simply by putting your hand up and then putting it down. And once you've done that, that's as far as it goes. We pray a prayer after that of confessing Jesus. But today, if that's you, if you're like, yeah, I want to know God personally. I want a personal relationship. If that's you, on the count of three, we pop your hand up and put it back down. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Thank you. Is anybody else today? So yeah, that's me. I want to do that. I want to know Jesus personally. I want to be restored into relationship with him. I want to know what it is to be loved by him. That I'll overflow with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody else this morning? So yeah, I want to do that too. If you're online this morning, God sees you responding to him. Just was in this moment with the eyes closed still. You know, maybe you haven't put your hand up. It's okay. God's not interested in our hands, he's interested in our hearts. Amen. I truly believe that whether your hand's gone up or it hasn't gone up, if you're in the room or you're watching this morning, I want to encourage you that by praying the prayer that we're going to pray in a moment, the whole church is going to join you in praying that prayer. It's the prayer that matters, confessing Jesus, declaring that Jesus is Lord, believing in our hearts. And that's how we step into beautiful relationship with him. I want to encourage you, why don't we pray this prayer together as a church? If you're praying for the first time, you've prayed it before, let's join together and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross, that you were buried and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe with my heart that God raised him from the dead. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. I repent before you. And from this day on, I choose to follow Jesus. Awesome. Greatest prayer that you can ever pray. The first prayer of following Jesus. You know, if you prayed that for the first time, after the service finishes, I want to encourage you that there'll be a team of people up the back on the door who will simply have a pamphlet and a Bible for you if you don't have a Bible. And they want to give you that. It's called the Next Steps or the First Steps booklet. And the whole thing about it is we don't want you to just stop here. So what comes next? I've made this first step towards Jesus. Where is he actually want to send me to next? I want to encourage you, if you're watching online this morning, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. All the information is there. Connect with us.